Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe for Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. I'm really looking forward to tonight's show, and I really hope people participate. That's what I hope.
Yeah, I do too. We'll give it a few minutes here to let people get into the program. The chat room is open. We opened the chat room a little late tonight, mostly because I had some computer issues I had to quickly resolve. So anyway, they're resolved, and we'll get on with it. So let's do the preamble here. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate two schools, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, where students can get their bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. The web address is metaphysicsinstitute.org. And we also operate the International College of Humanistic Science, which is where students can take standalone courses and also get certifications in things like life coaching and spiritual counseling and paranormal research, things like that. The web address is ichsworld.org. So before we get into our main topic tonight, we'll do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. All right, so it looks like the chat room is operational. We have throngs of people in there.
I'm sorry. I have been refreshing 4 times, and I can't get in, Doug.
Well, keep trying.
I will. I might just have to reboot this Blog Talk Radio. But I'm here with you.
Not the reboot.
I have no idea.
All right, so tonight we are going to talk about five ways to free your soul, and we're going to also do a countdown of probably the five most common ways that people are enslaved, and we're going to start with number five, count down to one, and we're going to also include five ways to free your soul from these different things. Basically, and they pretty much apply to everything. But before we get into that specifically, I just want to re-welcome everyone, those listening live, those listening to the archive. If you're listening live, we encourage you to post your thoughts in the chat room. And if you have questions, ask them there. If you'd like to call in, you can certainly do that. Michael Kelly is the man on the phones, and the number is there on your screen, 714-459-3973. Or you can use Skype. If you click on the little Skype icon, you can use Skype to call in. So that kind of covers the entire planet. So wherever you're at, if you use Skype, then it's free. All right. Make sure everything is copacetic here. Looks like it is. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. Then we're going to talk about it. Then we're going to tell you what we told you. You know, the old adage. All right. So tonight, five ways to free your soul. I mean, that's an enticing concept. And the idea behind it is we live in a world where most people are unwittingly enslaved. But the soul yearns to be free, and I think everyone will probably agree with that. At some point in their life, they feel entrapped, they feel enslaved, they feel claustrophobic, they need to break out, they need to be free. And so we're going to talk about the different ways, five most common ways which people are enslaved. We're going to count down. Now I'm going to tell you right up front what to do about it, and then we're going to go through it. So these points that I'm about ready to tell you are not going to make as much sense right now as they will at the end of the program. So stay tuned, listen to the rest of it, and they'll make more sense. So the number one biggest way to, really the only way to free your soul is to take your power back. You may not know what that means. It may not mean much to you. It will later. How do you take your power back? You do it in several ways. One, think for yourself. Two, walk your own path. Three, determine your own core values. Four, seek your own approval. Five, be who you are as long as you do no harm and do right. I'm going to repeat those as we go through the program. Okay, before we get into our number five most common way that people enslave themselves, I'm going to turn it over to Vicki for her comments, because she always has them, you know.
Well, I think that... See, I happen to have a little heads up about what we're going to talk about tonight, Doug, and it's some really good stuff. And without having your own mind, and I think we're enslaved from the time we're children, we start school, if you want to know. The programming begins, what you're supposed to learn, how you're supposed to learn it, how you're to behave, and it depends on your environment, your culture, your training, what your parents believe, what your neighbors believe, what everybody else believes, and we adapt. But so much of it is, and with all due respect to all those people who think they're doing the right thing, so much of it is just wrong. I mean, it's wrong on so many levels that I know we're going to talk about tonight.
All right. So without any further ado, let's get into number five. We'll count down to number one. Okay, number one, or most common way that people enslave themselves is due to unhealthy social and cultural conditioning. Now, just let that slowly simmer for a minute. Unhealthy social and cultural conditioning. If you take a look around at whatever culture you're in on this planet, there's bound to be some different cultural or social conditioning things, the way we do things, that aren't just not that healthy. In fact, when you take the word culture, what does it mean? Well, it's real simple. It's the way we do things around here. That's what culture is. So you can have a corporate culture It's the way we do things around here. You can have a societal culture. It's the way we do things around here. There's a lot of things of culture. I mean, everyday things, you know, shaking hands is cultural. Whether you look someone in the eye or not is cultural. Shaking hand versus kissing each cheek versus bowing, all cultural. Now, I'm not saying those are unhealthy. I'm just giving you some examples of culture. So,
and we're cultured into nursery rhymes that if we really stop and think about them, they would never come out of our mouths, ever.
That's no lie. So think about your culture. What cultural things, the way we do things around here, the way you do things, are just not that healthy. Now I'm going to give you an extreme example that's been recently in the news, and it comes from Pakistan. And it's shocking. It's called honor killings. You may have heard of honor killings. If a family feels that they have been dishonored by a family member, usually a woman, she gets killed. And the authorities, and forgive me, I forget the name of the organization, that estimates that 5,000 women a year are killed as in honor killings. Now, this particular example is off of CNN.com. You can go and look it up if you want to. But turns out a 25-year-old, three-month pregnant young lady was killed by her father, her brother, her cousin, and about 17 other family members because she refused to marry her cousin, which was a prearranged marriage. And she'd already gotten married to another guy, the father of her baby, and the family wanted $1,000 to basically approve it. And the couple couldn't come up with $1,000, so they killed the woman, the father, the brother, a cousin who she was supposed to marry, and several other family members, all while police stood and watched. Okay, now that's bad enough, isn't it? It gets worse. Her husband, who couldn't come up with $1,000, had killed his first wife 6 years ago so that he could marry this girl. And, you know, he didn't get off the hook. He spent a year in jail for it. So these are all cultural, these honor killings. It's a cultural thing. And think about where that comes from. You have dishonored me. In front of whom? It's them esteem to the hilt. And just in case you don't know what them esteem is, you got self-esteem, which means that you validate and approve of yourself. And you have them esteem, where the only validation you get is when other people approve of you or approve of what you're doing. You know, you're doing what they think you should do. It's them esteem. You esteem them more than yourself. So these honor killings, absolutely outrageous, unhealthy.
Yeah, well, it's insane.
It is. It is psychopathic. It is insanity. Now, that's an extreme, probably one of the most extreme, but there are others, you know, out in the world. So I doubt. Now, if you're listening to this program, you probably don't have a problem with honor killings, because if you do, they probably prohibit you from even listening to stuff like this. But what types of social conditioning, customs, rules, you know, things like that are at play in your life, if any?
It's oppression, really. It's oppression that people become indoctrined to take on a belief system that needs approval from other people. It's simple.
It is. So, to free your soul, take your power back, think for yourself. Honor killings?
You could be dead,
baloney.
But that's...
Yeah, doesn't matter.
No, this is what's really interesting. Doug, you know, I've got my own little story here, but no one can make me give up who I am. And if that meant to face my own mortality, so be it.
And that whole thought kind of dovetails into number four of the most common ways people are enslaved, and the number four way is unhealthy religion. And I'm going to be so bold as to tell everyone that 99.9% of all the religions out there are unhealthy in some way, some more, some less. I'm just going to get it right off the top. Now, people might offend people, and probably the reason it's offensive is because in some level, you know, it's probably true. I'm challenging you to prove me wrong. Now, does religion do some good? Sure, they do some good. But they do so much more unhealthy wrong that you can't ignore it. And I'm not going to ignore it. You know, people can believe what they want. It's up to you. I'm not here to try to change you per se. I'm here to raise awareness. And that's what I'm going to bring out here. Many, many people, especially in Christian nations, and I can't speak for Islamic countries because I'm not totally up on everything they believe other than the stuff you hear in the news. But at least with Christian nations like the United States, you know, there's so many people that are deathly afraid of going to hell that they are enslaved to a religious belief system that is unhealthy. You know, you got to do it my way. It's emotional blackmail is what it is. You know, basically God says you do it my way or you're going to die. What about free will? Oh, yeah, you have free will, but if you don't do it my way, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. You're going to burn forever and ever in hell. I mean, how loving is that? And yet so many people are afraid of burning in hell, and so they are enslaved to a belief system that is unhealthy. Many of these people think of themselves as sinners. Just think of the term. You know, you can't become a Christian without being a sinner. Well, we reject sin. It's baloney. There is no such thing as sin. It's just one more way to make you feel bad about yourself. And we don't need any more of those. We need ways to feel good about yourself. You know, do we make mistakes? Of course we make mistakes. But that's part of human nature. It's who we are, what we do. And obviously we want to learn from those mistakes. We want to do no harm. We want to do right. But we're going to make mistakes. So are you a sinner? No. But so many people consider themselves as sinners. Talk about a hit to your self-esteem.
Well, I think what it does too, though, is, you know, what I see in religious groups is they do 10 wrongs, but that one thing that's right is what they prey on. And that's what they use to manipulate. It's abuse, in my view, plain abuse.
So when we look at religious customs, think of the religious customs that are at play in your life, if any. And I'll tell you, you know, I'll briefly tell you my own story. I mean, I was enslaved to religion for, gosh, the first 40 years of my life, but I was enslaved to a very toxic, dysfunctional marriage because of religious beliefs. I couldn't leave it because, you know, the good book says you can't divorce, and it was held to it. You know, and so until I started thinking for myself and looking to solve my own problems without relying on some mythical being in the sky to come and take care of me, until I did that, nothing happened. Nothing changed. Once I started taking control of my own life, things change, and I've never looked back. My life has never been the same. It's been so much better. And so those are some of the ways that religion enslaves. Just making you think that you are a sinner is unhealthy. Making you think that you need to be saved by someone other than you is unhealthy. And just, you know, I mean, that's a big part of Christianity. You know, Christ came and saved your soul. Well, you know, the whole concept is unhealthy. You know, which one of your children do you want to kill so that the rest of your children can live because of some screwball, you know, legal definition? I mean, and if you really want to get down to it, Christian people, Job settled the matter of a perfect soul for a perfect soul. Here, an imperfect man was faithful. It didn't even take a perfect man to be faithful. An imperfect man was. So everything that Christ did was moot. And, of course, we don't even recognize that. But I'm just trying to give you some things to think about, to stimulate your thinking, to get you away from unhealthy religious beliefs. And there's so many around the world.
You know, if I can just throw in, there will be some kind of, you'll be ostracized or persecuted in some way when you do start questioning. And that's the courage you call on your soul, your own spirit, to stand up and rise into a new mentality. And that's how I see it. That new mentality is a new way for thinking. Will there be some emotional hits as you go? Absolutely. I was 9 years old and asked the elder of the church, who said Jesus looked like that? I got kicked out of teaching Sunday school. You know, I mean, I was 14 at that time. I started questioning it when I was 9. But that's part of the punishment. You can't question or you will be kicked out. You've been kicked out. I've been kicked out. We've been ostracized. Oh, well. You know, this is about me and my journey, my soul. And nobody else can have that. And if it means leaving those people, then it's about going to some other people. Because there are like-minded people. You just have to open your eyes to see them. And that's what part of this does, is it closes you off to other open-minded people. And keep in mind, there's always somebody who thinks like you do, or opening to questioning the world as it seems to want to create a reality.
Yep, and there are a lot of cults out there who have their own set of rules. The one I was with, Jehovah's Witnesses, really discouraged college education. And the reason is because once you start thinking for yourself, you start to realize that there's a lot wrong with the whole concept. And if any of you are out there really thinking about this and having doubts, good for you. Look up do an online search for Thomas Paine's Age of Reason and read it. Thomas Paine, Age of Reason. He was one of the founding fathers of the United States. It's free. You can find it free online. Age of Reason by Thomas Paine. It will change your whole outlook on Christianity. And it doesn't matter if it's not just Christianity. Look for the unhealthy aspects of religion. And again, we're talking about a lot of times it enslaves us because of them. Maybe our entire family's part of it. Mine was. Everybody. Aunts, uncles, cousins, brother, sister, mother, father, all of them, part of it. And to leave that takes an enormous amount of courage and strength. And usually they put a lot of pressure on you to do what they think is right, what the religion thinks is right, and we do it because of them esteem. It takes courage and strength to leave that.
The moment somebody leaves the flock, again, they lose faith.
Well, and they're spiritually weak, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, so what? Yeah, I'm spiritually weak, but not really. Not in the true spirituality. So, again, we see an undercurrent of them esteem. We stay enslaved because of what other people will think of us. And we only feel good about ourselves when we're doing what other people think we should do. We're ignoring us. So, to free your soul, take your power back. Think for yourself. This also dovetails into number 3, most common way, the people enslaved, and that is due to unhealthy control. There are 2 aspects of this. The first one is controlling others, and the second one is what we've kind of been talking about, others controlling you. Let's talk about controlling others. There are people out there who just have this thing where they have to be controlling, and they may not even quite realize that that's what they're doing. Anytime you give unsolicited advice to another adult, you're being controlling. It's none of your business. Don't offer unsolicited advice. Now, you can share a concern in some cases, but you're kind of walking the line there, and you have to use good judgment. It's not your business. Their life is their life. Their path is their path. Yours is yours. You don't offer unsolicited advice to other adults, even if those adults are your adult children. It is their life, not yours. Stop trying to control them. Because when you try to control others, you're enslaved to that. It is unhealthy. And you are not living your authentic self. You're not freeing your soul.
Well, if I can add in here, too, sometimes in a conversation, if I can help out, is rather than making a statement, ask a question. When you ask a question of somebody, you're interested in how they think without prejudice or judgment. But you're asking questions to understand. And sometimes people haven't even had the dialogue themselves because nobody has asked them. You know, it's somebody's complaining about their health. Well, ask a question about their health instead of having, you know, this single answer, like, this worked for me and you should take this. Rather, it's, you know, have a more, as Doug would say, word softeners, but to show an interest and ask questions and explore things together, as opposed to, you know, being emphatic and trying to control or win over and so on, because that, I think, is the difference. And if people are saying something that you don't like, you got to accept it. That's just who they are. That's what they are. That's where they're at. It doesn't mean you have to have Sunday dinners together.
Mm-hmm. So number three, the first part of it is controlling others. Don't give unsolicited advice to other adults, even if those adults are your children. The other part is others controlling you. We've already talked about religion and how they do that. Another way might be a career path. Maybe your parents want you to take a certain career path. They want you to do something that's just, you know, not really in your heart. And they put the pressure on. Maybe they want you to take a particular job. It might be a great job. It might be a well-paying job, but it's not your job, so to speak. That's another way. And so when you buckle, when you give in, again, due to them esteem, you're doing it because of what your parents will think of you and what they will think of you if you go against them. But again, it is your life, for your soul. Take your power back. Seek to control only you, and do not allow others to control you, even the way you behave, even your responses. Said a million times, you know, nobody is more entitled to your good behavior than you are. All right, so that was number three, unhealthy control. The next one, and these all kind of boil on down to the number one, the next one, number two on the list of five, is unhealthy core values. Now, we've been talking about some of these core values as we've discussed some of these other sections. What are some unhealthy core values? One of the more common ones I've seen, especially among those who are interested in metaphysics degrees or careers, is they want to help others. And that's a noble cause. That's a noble calling. It really is. But I every now and then see some who want to help others so much that they end up helping others until it hurts them. And we call that codependence. You know, that's I win if you win, and I'm going to try to make sure you win. They will help others at all costs. They will shoulder the problems of the world while neglecting themselves. Those are all definitions of codependence, and it's really part of unhealthy core values. Let me share an experience with you that happened with me. I was part of it some years ago, many years ago. We were doing a series of paranormal investigations for a particular client, her and her husband. I'll call her Amy. That's not her real name. Very, very nice folks. Amy in particular was very gracious, very kind. We'd show up. She would make stuff to eat. She gave us gifts. She was just so nice. And she was having some issues. And her story was that, as I later found out, she'd had her many, many years of abuse, an abusive marriage, not the one she was in. That one was okay. But previous marriage, previous relationships were all abusive, physical abuse, emotional abuse. She had been abused as a child, both physical and sexually, and she was in, you know, mid-50s at this point, and she was trying to put it behind her. She was trying to get better, but yet she didn't know how to say no. She did not know how to be assertive, and she offered us some very expensive pieces of artwork that she had done, and we ended up having to refuse because I couldn't in good conscience take what she was offering. It was not justified. She gave us some small gifts, some little Indian-related, Native American-related things she'd made, which was fine, but then she wanted to offer some other stuff. She would have given us anything, and that is unhealthy. Now, here's the interesting part of this. This goes into a psychology. It goes into a person's belief system, into their core values. And here's what we did. We were trying to figure out, because she claimed that she had some some kind of paranormal experiences, whether it was spirits, whether it was aliens, she didn't know. But she had claimed to have seen some beings in her house and on and on. So we were there doing the investigation. Her husband was there, and I conducted a hypnosis session with her. In fact, it was she ended up going deeper into hypnosis than anybody had ever hypnotized before or since. I mean, she went into almost a coma state, a very deep somnambulistic state. She did not remember a thing afterward, but she was fully talkative and everything. So, and she, you know, certainly a great subject for this. So I hypnotized her and asked her some questions. And the crux of the matter was that there was this being that showed up. That right there, you know, as we were doing it, and for her, not for us, we didn't see anything, but she said this being was there, and this being wanted her to help other people. And having some background on her, having been there a few times, I knew what questions to ask. And so I asked, is this being telling you that you need to help people at all costs? She said, yes. Do you believe that? Yes. Should you help people even if it hurts you? Yes, was her response. And that's exactly what she had been doing in life. She was so kind to people that she ended up getting walked on and hurt all the time. And then she would be upset, resentful about it. And so it was interesting that this being was not picked up by the psychic that was there. And I pretty much feel that this being was her higher self, was her belief system, was a construct of her own, her id, if you will. And when I concluded the hypnosis and brought her out of trance, I asked her if she remembered anything. No, she didn't. Of course, I recorded the whole thing. And I knew that her belief system, her core values, were deeply, deeply entrenched psychologically. The way she felt good about her was doing nice things for other people. And we worked on that considerably because I did coaching with her. And she made a lot of good progress to the point where she could assert herself and she could minimize that. She still battled with it, but her core values in that area were unhealthy.
And just to be clear, I think there's a difference between being kind. Like, honestly, people have come to my house and said, oh, wow, do I ever like that painting that I've done? And I say, oh, well, take it home then. Because I don't care. And it's not because I need to do anything. It's just if you like it, take it, which is not reflective of a codependent. If it means that much to you, then it should be yours, which is, it's kind of a...
It was different, though.
And I just like to make this clear for people who are listening, because sometimes there's a spiritual connection that you can see with people in a something that they should just have it. But it's not about, you know, I'm going to feed you your favorite food, and I'm going to make sure you get everything you need, and then you're going to take it. It's like that's where she was at, which is not healthy.
Right, and she would almost be insistent. She was insistent. Oh, you got to do it. You know, she was overly insistent. And that's the point. That was her core values. Now, that's just one example. Codependence is a common one. People want to help others so bad that they end up hurting themselves. You know, again, you got to free your soul. Take your power back. Think for yourself. Don't try to control other people, because codependence is controlling behavior. Think about that for a minute. It is. You are trying to control what the other person does. Stop doing that.
Huge. Huge.
It is. The focus, think about the focus. The focus is on oneself, not on others. People who are codependent are not focused on other people. Now, that kind of goes contrary to what you might think otherwise. They are focused on them. They only feel good about themselves when they're helping other people. That's them esteem.
You know, it's, if I could just insert, very often I tell people, if you give and you don't know how to receive, it means you want to control all the giving. That's a control issue.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed. So we've done the countdown starting with 5, unhealthy social cultural conditioning. 4, unhealthy religion. 3, unhealthy control. 2, unhealthy core values. And that leads us to our 1 most common way of being enslaved, which kind of incorporates all of them, and that is simply disabling thoughts and beliefs. Let it slowly simmer. what disabling thoughts or beliefs do you hold? They can be in a variety of areas. So common is low self-esteem, which we actually call them esteem. Low self-esteem, I'm not worthy, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not good-looking enough, I'm not whatever. Those are disabling thoughts.
You know, if I can inject here too, Doug, when we believe that the governments really have our interests at heart, and we believe that the doctor knows better than we do, and if we believe that all those other so-called, you know, elected or, you know, self-appointed people know better than we do, we have given our power away.
Mm-hmm.
It's to, you know, participate in our own process, to understand ourselves. That's the self-empowerment, that's the self-completeness. And then we begin to see the world differently and how much other people are operating on their own agendas. And I'm not meaning to be negative. There are good people everywhere that are well-intended. But we have to see that there is very often a different motivation at work than what we think.
Yes, absolutely. You know, think about in your life, who is it that wants you to do something a certain way? You know, are you living your life? Are you living, being your authentic self, who you really are? Are you? If you are, hats off to you. Chances are you're not. What is standing in your way? Is it that you're worried about what others will think of you, including God? Well, if you know, how can you say these things about God? You know, he'll kill you. Well, that's exactly why I say it, folks. There's no loving, unconditionally loving God would ever do that. It does not make any logical sense. Yet we've grown up with it. We've grown up with these stories. They have been force-fed, inculcated in us since childhood, since birth in many cases, and we've bought into it. We have to break those chains. We have to think for ourselves. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm telling you to just think for yourself. Don't just buy into it because somebody else said it was true. Evaluate the evidence for yourself completely. Think for yourself.
Connect the dots.
Yes. You know, you can't, I mean, I've had many, many people, you know, who, for example, I've seen so many of these groups who are ghost hunters, but they're religiously based ghost hunters. You can't have that. That ghost hunting and Christianity are incompatible. You can't just pick and choose. Either you believe it or you don't. You know, so what I'm saying is think about other things that come into your life. You know, either you take it all or you take none of it. It's, you can't pick and choose. If the Bible is true, then it's all true.
Well, you know, wait a minute. This is exactly why you get so many different factions of one particular group or organization or belief system. That's why there's so many different Protestant churches. It's because somebody said, well, I agree with this part, and it's back to that, 10 of these and one of those, right? So they go off and they make their own religion. They go off and make their other own religion, and then they keep breaking it down. Well, it's so diluted, and now we have the New Age Christianity, okay, but you can't be an actual metaphysician who truly is trying to study life and understand the universe and be devoted to a God source in that way.
Because it's something outside of yourself. And look, where it all came from, I have no idea. Okay, I don't know. All I know is that you must think for yourself. Weigh the evidence. And whether it's society, cultural conditioning, religion, unhealthy control, unhealthy core values, think for yourself. What are those ways now to free your soul? Well, the primary way is to take your power back. That and that doesn't sound like much, but it is absolutely profound. When you take your power back, you become you. Your boundaries become strong. You don't allow people to cross your boundaries. You don't allow people to walk on you. You don't walk on other people. You know who you are and why you are who you are. So the bottom line is take your power back. You do that by, number one, thinking for yourself. Number two, walking your own path, your path. Not somebody else's path for you. Number three, determining your own core values, the things that make sense to you. You don't believe in something just because that's the way you were raised. You question everything. Number four, you seek your own approval first and foremost. Number five, you be who you are as long as you do no harm and do right.
You know, if I can add, it's hurtful about, you know, in a way, because we love people even though they're not thinking right and we've adopted their belief system. There's a natural rite of passage to detaching but still loving. And it's very often the denial, the anger and resentment and so on. And that's a natural part of being human as we wake up. And that's what we're doing, waking up. We can still be a loving humanity, love our families, be together, provided everybody is treating each other respectfully, and that we walk our true path. We are an evolving species that has so much capacity for love and an evolution that we haven't even thought about yet. And it just means we have to let go of all this unhealthy crap. It's just crap.
You know, so the point here, folks, is to be free. You want to be free. Your soul yearns to be free. Free your soul. Don't buy into other people's stuff just because they say it's true. Make it true. You know, look for that truth. I mean, whatever's true for you, live it. Just do no harm, do right. But live your life. That's an inalienable right of every human being. And that's why there's these human rights organizations out there who monitor human rights abuses and violations that are going on around the globe. There's a gazillion of them, you know, and it's wrong. We've got to step up as a human race and empower ourselves. We can't hold out waiting for God to do something, waiting for Christ to return, whatever it is you're waiting for. You know,
I think it's Russell Brand myself.
Well, that's a whole different matter. All right. So, you know, you be your own guru. You be your own counselor. You think for yourself. You know, hold on to those things and really do some reinvention because you deserve it. There's nothing wrong with it. This is healthy. Read those principles of belief at mchschurch.org, the ones I read at the outset of this program. Those are healthy. In fact, it's the most healthy spiritual philosophy there is on the planet, if you ask me. And even if you don't ask me, it still is. Because it tells you to be you, to tolerate other people. Look, you want to believe in whatever you believe, I don't care. That's up to you. Just do no harm and do right. And don't do any harm by basically implying that people are sinners or that they need some saving or that they need to do something because someone else thinks so. All right. Beaten that one to death.
We did good. I love it. We get the point across. Great job.
And I didn't mention this, but, you know, a big part of that is the fear that goes behind it. We talked about that last week. Fear that paralyzes you is the thing that can set you free. So listen to that program if you haven't already. Anyway, we appreciate you listening to this live program or to the archive as we always do. Again, for more information on MCHS Church, put a .org behind that, mchschurch.org. If you would like to get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree in some aspect of metaphysics, such as coaching, spiritual counseling, paranormal research, holistic healing, and several others, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you'd just like to take a standalone, visit ichsworld.org. You can also get your certifications in coaching, counseling, marital research, holistic healing, Reiki, things like that there. Next week, we'll be back with another timely topic. Until then, again, thanks. Listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.